Welcome to the Vineyard Church Message of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information on this podcast or other resources, go to vineyardlive.us. To learn more about us, go to thevineyardchurch.us.
Well, we are rounding out 2018, and I love to look back at the past year and kind of see, you know, areas in my life where I've grown, areas where I really need to grow, and really just reflect. And I love to do that personally, but I love to do that as a society, too. I love to look back and see, like, what leaps and bounds have we made in society? Where are we really killing it? And as I thought back over the last year, and really the last couple years, I thought there's one thing that we have done incredibly well. We've really upped our game. You know what it is? Baby announcements. Think about it, right? We have some grand, extravagant baby announcements. So you think back to when, you know, I was born, early 80s. How do you tell someone you're expecting? You just, like, tell them, right? You go to Thanksgiving, you're like, "Ann, we're having a baby." But no. When I started having babies, it was very different. When I got pregnant with my first son, social media was kind of new at the time, so not a lot of people were on it, but we decided we were going to go big, and we were going to post a Facebook status announcing, "Hey, we're pregnant." It was really, really lame. Okay, but it was cool at the time. 2 years later, we are pregnant again, and we thought, well, we're gonna go really big this time. We decided to upload to Facebook a low-quality iPhone photo of our son, Cohen. There he is, wearing his Big Bro t-shirt. Check it out. Hey, we're pregnant. Cute, huh? Not only 2 years later, it's already changed so much, right? And we decide we're going to find out what we're having this time. And so we decide to do a very low-key gender reveal party where you let the people know what you're having. And so we decide to do this. We do this with some friends and neighbors, and we celebrate. Sure enough, baby number 3 is a girl. But even in the last, like, 4 or 5 years since we had Gigi, you guys, the announcements are insane. So creative. Check out these gems from the internet. We got some good stuff. Ice baby. Anybody? Yeah, hey, all right. Eviction notice. They need that crib. Get out of the way. So cute. I did this. Way to go, Dad. We are proud of you. All right, baby announcements are so much fun. And when we have great news that we want to share with someone, we want to share it with the people that we value the most. So you think about people you share those announcements with. They're people that you love, that you do life with. And really, who you choose to reveal that good news to shows you the value that they have in your life. And today, we're going to talk about the greatest baby announcement of all time. We're going to talk about the birth of King Jesus. And the thing I find most fascinating about this is actually who the angels of the Lord told and revealed this great baby announcement to, and the significance that that has. And so we've been in this series called Presence, where we're learning about how the presence of God is with us and in us, and how we can partner with his presence. That's what we're going to talk about today. But we've learned all kinds of things, how, you know, we can hear from God, how we can practice his presence. But today we are going to focus in on this message entitled Partnering with His Presence, because we want to know how we can live this out every single day. So let's pray and we'll jump in. Holy Spirit, we love you, and we just love this time of year, and we love that we can take some time and really just focus in on you. And so we just welcome you, Lord, to be the teacher today. It's your house. These are your people. And we just invite you to say whatever it is you want to say. In your name we pray. Amen. So we're going to talk today about partnering with his presence, with the presence of God. And what comes to mind when you first hear the word partner? Like, do you think, some people think, oh, I think about my marriage, like we're partners in life. Maybe you think about a business partner that you have. But honestly, when I hear partner, the first thing that I think about is in high school when your teacher would say, "Hey, grab a partner, it's group project time," okay? Oh, right, you feel one of two things. One, you're really excited. Or two, you're like, oh, you've got to be kidding me, not group projects. You're super excited if you're kind of a slacker and you're like, hey, check this out. The next 2 weeks, I don't have to do anything. We're just going to have my partner do it. Or you are that partner. You're the smart kid. You're like, I got to carry this Yahoo for 2 weeks to get the stuff done. Okay, so for me, I was actually a really good student, but not because I'm super book smart. I had street smarts and I worked really hard, so I really got good grades. But junior year, when the teacher announced in chemistry class that it was group project time, I thought, time to put those street smarts to work. So I decided to tell my friend Neil, hey, Neil, guess what? You get to be my partner. It's going to be great. So Neil was actually smart, really good at chemistry, and I was not good at chemistry. But the good news is that Neil and I had two classes together. We had chemistry and we had Spanish. And where Neil was great at chemistry, he was not so great at the Espanol. So I decided I would do all the Spanish and Neil would do all the chemistry and we would work together to get A's. And guess what? We did. It was awesome. Like, we totally nailed both classes. We got A's in everything, and we got to experience partnership. It's probably not what the teachers had in mind, but whatever, we got A's. Who cares? All right. Partnership is awesome. And I have great news for us today. We have been invited into the greatest partnership of all time. The God of the universe wants to partner with you in the group project of life. And yes, I know it sounds cheesy, but it's real. The God of the universe chooses you as a partner. Do you know that? He doesn't, like, get stuck with you. Sometimes I think, oh, wait, you're not going to choose me. Like, no, he doesn't get stuck with Leah. He chooses me as a partner. He wants to do life with me. And I think, God, you know, you have everything in the world, right? Psalm 24 says you own the earth and everything in it. You have no boundaries. Time doesn't matter to you. You're wonderful. You're awesome. You're the smartest. Why would you partner with me? Do you know that partnership has been around since the very beginning? Like, from the beginning of creation, God said he wants to do partnership. He wants to do life with us. And that's because partnership is actually who he is. Partnership is in his being, right? He's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. All he knows is working together. And he wants to work with you. He chooses you to partner with. And I think we can get to this place where we think, like, me? Like, I don't even get picked for dodgeball. Like, you're not going to want to pick me. Like, I'm not smart. Like, I'm too old. I'm too young. I've made too many mistakes. Read here what it says in Ephesians 1:4. And he chose us to be his very own, joining us to himself even before he laid the foundation of the universe. Because of his great love, he ordained us so that we would be seen as holy in his eyes with an unstained innocence. Read the words, it's so good, right? He chose us to be his own. He chooses you, he picks you, and he wants to partner with you. And you might feel like you got the wrong guy, you got the wrong girl, whatever it is, but guess what? The kingdom of God is backwards. And where you think you've missed it, the Father says, you haven't missed it. I still choose you. I want to partner with you. It's because of Jesus we get to be seen with an unstained innocence. Because of Jesus, we get to partner with God in kingdom breakthrough. Because of Jesus, we get to partner with his presence. And we've been talking in this whole series, you know, about the Christmas story and how the presence of God totally changed the world by coming to earth in the form of a little baby and the breakthrough that has, and how that one story actually impacts every single individual's story. And you all know the Christmas story, right? Yeah, we know it, right? We do this every year. So, Christmas story, right? You see the Christmas cards, you see angels, or, you know, shepherds are hanging out, angels come, oh, they sing, go see the baby. They see the baby's here, it's amazing. We know the story. But today, I really want to focus in on the shepherds and talk about the importance, because they were the ones that the angel of the Lord revealed the great baby announcement to. They were the ones. So I want to talk about what that looks like and the significance that it has. So I want you to think for a minute about the shepherds, right? They're listed in scripture with no name, no fanfare. They are seemingly insignificant, pretty unimportant, right? They were the first ones to receive the glorious news that the Messiah has come. These guys. Hanging out in a field. Not kings, not priests, shepherds. And among the Jews at this period of time, it's known that the shepherds were the nobodies, right? They're the societal outcasts. In fact, they're religious outcasts. You know why? They couldn't go to the temple. Or they didn't just have free time to run off. They got sheep to tend to, right? So they were really seen as the nobodies. And think about their job for a minute. Like, really think about it. They're outside all day long. I am not made for the outdoors, so I would not sign up for this job. They smell bad. They're hanging around stupid sheep. Like, they work all day, all night. This is a yuck job. I would not want this job. I do not. I mean, you look at those Christmas cards, you think, oh, so cute, shepherds, it looks great. We glamorize it way more than it was. This job is not fun. They have this low-paying, seemingly insignificant job. They were just busy tending to the sheep, doing what they do. But the fact that the Lord chose these guys to reveal this great news to was a really big deal. And the shepherds knew they didn't carry a lot of value in society, but in a moment, their value was revealed. In a moment. We're going to read here how they choose to partner with the presence of God. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Luke chapter 2. We'll have it up on the screen for you as well. We'll start here in verse 8. It says, that night in a field near Bethlehem, the shepherds were watching over their flocks, like they do. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared in radiant splendor before them, lighting up the field with the blazing glory of God. And the shepherds were terrified, because that is frightening. But the angel of the Lord reassured them, saying, don't be afraid, for I've come to bring you good news, the most joyous news the world has ever heard. And it's for everyone, everywhere. I love this. For today in Bethlehem, a rescuer was born for you. He is the Lord Yahweh, the Messiah. You will recognize him by this miracle sign. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a feeding trough. It rhymes. I like that too. The shepherds were just doing what they do, right? They're shepherds. They're just shepherding. They're just hanging out, right? It's the graveyard shift. I bet the guys are like joking around. One of them's snoozing. One of them's complaining that his boss actually made him work that night, right? It's just a normal day in the life of a shepherd. But then it wasn't in a moment, because the presence of God came and changed everything for them. And what I love most about this verse is that God didn't wait for the shepherds to come to the temple to have an encounter with his presence. He met them right where they were at, right? Oftentimes, the divine has like dives right in, smack dab in the middle of your everyday, normal, ho-hum, watching the sheep kind of life. That's usually what happens. And when the divine intersects the daily, we call that a holy moment. The shepherds had a holy moment. Suddenly, there's a holy moment. Suddenly happens when you least expect it, right? You can't anticipate how the Lord is going to break through in your life suddenly. But pay attention. Don't sleep on the job. Be looking for the ways the Lord wants to intersect your life, because the and suddenlies, those are going to redirect the course of your life in the best possible way. And suddenly, the angel showed up and scared the stuff right out of these guys, right? Again, petrifying. Think about, you're just hanging out at your job, and suddenly, angels show up in the office. Like, whoa, that's shocking. And suddenly, we have a choice in these moments. What do you want to do? You want to turn away? You want to be like, oop, too scary. I'm not interested. Or do you want to engage? Because we have a choice of whether or not we're going to partner with his presence in that moment. And the shepherds chose to partner with him. And when you do that, you're going to see lives change. Do you know that in you, the presence of God, right? He's in us. He's with us. And in you means that we have everything we need. In you, you have every solution to every problem, because you are partnered with the God of the universe. In you, you have love. You have perfect peace. You have joy. Those are the things that we get to deposit to the world. And when we partner with this presence, we get to release that stuff on earth. We get to release heaven on earth as we partner with his presence. That means you're going to be hanging out at Meijer. You're going to be scanning your groceries. And you do the self-checkout and you always think, why did I do this? Like, this is way more complicated than I thought it was. And suddenly, God's going to give you an encouraging word for the person in front of you. You're going to release heaven on earth. You're going to be preparing that financial report for your boss. And suddenly, the Lord is going to give you a strategy that's going to help your company's bottom line. That releases heaven on the earth. You're going to be looking, you know, at your car, right? You're a mechanic, and you're going to be staring at this thing going, I don't actually know what the problem is. And suddenly, Holy Spirit is going to show you what the actual problem is so you can fix it and do your job well. You're going to be teaching your classroom, and suddenly, Holy Spirit's going to give you a word of knowledge for that girl, you know, Susie, who sits in the back, right? Her eyes are always down. You know her home life's a wreck. And in that moment, you're going to speak life over Susie that's going to change the course of her life. That's a holy moment. We want to partner with God in the present moment to release heaven on the earth. We partner with his presence when we allow the divine to intersect the daily. And when we partner with him, we release heaven on the earth. Let's go back here to verse 13. We'll pick it up here. Then, all at once, a vast number of glorious angels, vast, It's a lot, like millions, billions, not just like, ooh, a few. It's like innumerable, like overwhelming, vast. Number of angels appeared, the very armies of heaven, and they all praise God, singing glory to God in the highest realms of heaven, for there is peace and a good hope given to the sons of men. When the choir of angels disappeared back to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, hey, let's go, let's hurry, let's find this word that is born in Bethlehem and see for ourselves what the Lord has revealed to us. So they ran into the village and they found their way to Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the feeding trough. Heaven was being released on the earth because the shepherds allowed the divine to intersect their daily. They were right where they were supposed to be, and all of a sudden, suddenly, something miraculous happened, and they responded. They listened. They obeyed. They said, we got to go see this baby, and they took off. Upon seeing this miraculous sign, the shepherds recounted what had just happened, right? They couldn't contain themselves like, Mary, Joseph, you cannot believe what just happened. Like, we were just out there with the sheep, and he was sleeping, but he woke up because, oh my goodness, all these angels came. A vast number came. Everyone who heard the shepherd's story was astonished by what they were told, because it is astonishing. But Mary treasured all these things in her heart and often pondered what they meant. The shepherds returned to their flock, ecstatic over what had just happened. They praised God and glorified him for all they had heard and seen for themselves, just like the angel had said. So the shepherds have this crazy angelic encounter. They experience this wild, holy moment, right? They meet God in the flesh. They tell everybody about what's happened. It's amazing. Guess what they did next? They went back to work. Do you read it there? They went back to their flocks. That's exactly what they did. It's right? We think it sounds more glorious than it should be. They went back to work. We need to hear this, church. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in our holy moments that we forget to do the very last thing Jesus asked us to. So we have this powerful encounter, and then we think, oh, that's it. God's uprooting me, redirecting my whole life. Do you know God gives you the holy moment, the encounter, so that he can impact you right where you're at? He wants to use your holy moments to change your workplace, to change your home, to change your schools, everywhere you go, that you would have an encounter with God that releases heaven on the earth right where you're at. The shepherds were doing exactly what God made them to do. They were shepherding. And I think it's very easy to get into the place where, like, well, this can't be my destiny. Shepherding. I just saw the angels. Can we trust that God has us in a specific moment at a specific time for a purpose? And stop thinking that our grand ideas of something else is actually more important. These guys, they had to show up, right? They went back to work. It's so easy. The shepherds could have been like, I'm calling in sick tonight. Like, nothing happens on Thursday. Like, no big deal. They would have missed out on a crazy holy moment, but they showed up. So much of following Jesus is just showing up. You want to have an encounter with God? Show up. Get back to work. Do the thing that God has placed right in front of you and do it honorably. Honor the Lord through it. Get back to work. Colossians 3, 23 through 25 says, work willingly at whatever you do, shepherding, as though you are working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and the master you are serving is Christ. You know we work for the Lord and we don't work for people. Look, like my job, I literally work for the Lord, and I forget this, right, all the time. We forget. We get wrapped up in what we're doing. We work for the Lord. We don't work for people. So many times we have other motives. We work for power. We work for prestige. We work for money. But we are to work for the Lord. And we forget it all the time. And I think we don't realize the kingdom impact we could have if we would just choose to partner with his presence right where we're at every single day. And I think we don't understand the importance of the work we're called to, right? It's very easy to look at the shepherds and be like, eh, not important. The Lord says that's very important. The Lord said the work they did mattered. Even if society didn't see it, it mattered to the king. We think we'll be happier if only, right? Well, if only I wasn't shepherding. If only I made more money. If only I had picked a different major. If only I got that promotion. If only. It goes on and on. We've got to start believing that God has placed us in this moment for a purpose. It matters. Start asking him why. If you're not feeling good about it, ask him. Maybe the shepherds didn't feel good about it. Maybe like, same old, same old. Ask him, why am I here today? What is my purpose today in this present moment, and how can I partner with you? I think we don't think that our work has value. I think we forget about the importance of it. I think we like to live our lives thinking that there are sacred things we do and there are secular things we do, right? There's sacred things like the religious activities, praying, reading our Bible, you know, worshiping, sacred. And then secular, like washing the dishes or working out or watching the sheep, you know. In the kingdom of God, there's no delineation between sacred and secular because every moment belongs to King Jesus. That means it's not just about a devotional time in the morning, which is sacred. No, it's a life of devotion lived unto the King. Every moment belongs to the Lord, and we want to lean in and partner with him in every single moment, knowing that every moment has value. We were created for oneness with the Father. He wants every moment. He wants the highs, he wants the lows, he wants, my kids were fighting all morning, seriously. I was like, of all days, could you just give me a break? Really, we made them hold hands on the way to church because they were fighting, and it was great. I love when parents win like that. Makes my heart so happy. But really, God wants to be in those moments. He wants to help us in that moment to release his presence, his heaven on the earth. But we got to start understanding that the work that we're called to really matters to him, and that he wants to show up in that moment. You know, work's not a punishment, right? Jesus, work was cursed before, but it was redeemed on the cross. And we're supposed to enjoy the work that we're called to do. We're supposed to enjoy raising our kids. And if you're, you know, a stay-at-home parent, that you enjoy that work, or that you enjoy the work that God's put right in front of you. It means that we get to co-create with God, and we get to dream and strategize. And it means we get to take care of sick patients and help them get well. That's amazing. It means we get to serve as a cashier at Target and see every basic mom come in 3 times a week with their Starbucks every week. That's me, so it's fine. We get to release heaven on earth wherever we are, and every job, everything we do has value. Are we tuning our attention to the Father to see and to understand the value that we have? Because I think this is a really big deal. I think some people feel needed but not valued. You think about the shepherds, man. They were needed. Everybody needed the shepherds to shepherd, but they were not valued. The Father today says, I see you. I choose you. You have so much value. The world doesn't understand what I understand. And so the value, I think specifically, there are stay-at-home parents today who feel needed but not valued. I think there are people in the food service industry who feel needed and not valued. And I believe there are some of you working in the foster care system who feel needed and not valued. And the Father says, you have so much value. Don't let the world tell you what is value. Don't let the world tell you what is significant. I see what you're doing. And God always elevates the ones that are unseen. Do you know that? Like, we think kingdom destiny means we are seen. If only I was seen, then I would be walking in my calling. Almost always, he chooses the unseen. And then, when we partner with him, then we become seen. We got to start understanding that there's value in being unseen. There's value in just partnering with him right where we're at. I think people struggle with this kingdom destiny thing a lot. I think we think, again, it's got to look more grand than like this. Like, kingdom destiny, if I'm really walking with God, it looks more like the Christmas card, less like stinky sheep. But most of life is actually just the day-to-day. It's the grind with Jesus. So it's like, God, why do we do this? What are we really craving? Why do we care about, like, what's my purpose? What am I made for? And he says, when people are craving and longing for their big kingdom destiny, what they're actually searching for is significance. Tell me that I'm important. Tell me that what I do really matters. But you know, significance is never measured by worldly standards. Who makes the rules? That's my favorite thing. Who makes the rules? God does. He makes the rules. And the kingdom of God is backwards. And our significance is revealed as we partner with his presence. You think those shepherds felt super significant? In the natural, no. They're nobodies. They held no power, no money. They had a terrible job. Their significance came when they chose to partner with his presence, when they responded to the holy moment, when they leaned in, when they believed what the angel said and they followed, when they went to see the baby in the flesh and they couldn't stop telling everyone about the good news that they had, and when they went back to work. Get back to work. Celebrate what God has done. Absolutely do that. But we have to remember that we live out kingdom destiny when we partner with his presence. That's what destiny is. It's simply partnership with his presence, right? Destiny is a series of yeses to God. We don't arrive ever in your destiny. You don't ever think, and dun-da-da-da, I'm here. Destiny is a series of, okay, Lord, you asked me to do this? Yep, leaning in. Oh, you want to partner with me here? Yep. It is the collective yeses to partnering with his presence. That is destiny. So you want to walk in your destiny? Keep saying yes. You won't arrive. Sorry. But every day, you want to be know that you're walking in destiny. It's have you partnered with his presence. That is destiny. So this first invitation to partner with Jesus to come and see, this was for the shepherds, right? The nobodies, the seemingly insignificant people. But this is the way of the kingdom. He does this often this way, the ones you wouldn't assume. He came for those who needed a rescuer. Back to that Luke 2 text, I love that. You know what it is when we really understand that we need Jesus? We call that humility. And humility is really important in partnering with his presence. Humility is walking in agreement with the Father. It's recognizing that, gosh, we need him to be able to partner to do life, right? We need his presence. And significance comes as we partner with his presence and as we walk with him. And I want to share a story with you from my friend Terry. And nobody walks more humbly than Terry. And he's here today, and I might cry a little. Sorry. Shoot. Okay, here's what I love. Terry, you are faithful, and you're not flashy. But you so honor God with how you live your life. And I look at this man, I think, gosh, I want to be like him when I grow up. Because one, he's really, really funny. Like, so funny. Like, he's been in my small group for years. He makes me laugh more than anybody. Terry shows up. And he has a heart for people, and he cares about serving the least, the lost, and the last. You'll see him on the greeting team. He's been in this church for 18 years, right? You talk about someone who's faithful. He's been married to his wife for 47 years. 4 kids, 10 grandkids, following Jesus a long time. But he doesn't ever stop learning. He's been in Sockham with us. He goes after the presence. He cares about leaning into the moment. He knows that as he partners with the presence, he releases heaven on the earth. He shows up. And it's such a joy to watch Terry because he's faithful. He does the things that God has asked us to do. And it doesn't look like a Christmas card. It looks like real everyday life. And I love the way you live your life. And Terry has worked at Wesco Electric for 33 years, faithful in his workplace, right? And he honors the Lord in his work. And we were talking at small group last week, and he was telling me the story. He's like, yeah, you know, I went to get my computer fixed at work at one of the other buildings. And he's like, I was joking around with one of the guys, and I was like, oh, yeah, it's like I have an ulcer. Like, they made this joke about ulcers. And his manager was there. And he's like, Terry, like, you're too young to have an ulcer. And Terry's like, oh, well, no, actually, I did have an ulcer when I was in my 30s. And his boss is like, wait, what? That's so young. Like, what'd you do to take care of it? And he's like, I paused because I wasn't sure if he was ready for my answer. But, holy moment, ding, ding, ding. He's like, actually, it was a Sunday night at my church. An evangelist came, and I went down to receive prayer. And the evangelist laid his hands on me, and he prayed for me. And instantly, I was healed of my ulcer. He says, I even went out for pizza afterwards just to make sure I was all good. And we're good, right? It's great. They went on to talk about the power of prayer for 30 minutes. Do you know that night he was healed of an ulcer, but he was also healed of the fear that was driving the ulcer? This was the holy moment, and here's the deal. Terry had a holy moment years and years ago, but he had a new holy moment because he chose to remember what God did in that moment. May we choose to remember the holy moments. I think God is really breathing on this week. I want you to go back and write down, where has God provided for you? What have your holy moments been? Were you healed of infertility? Did you get that baby that's now fighting in the backseat of the car? What are your holy moments? Did God provide for you financially? Were you set free? Did he restore your marriage? Remember the holy moments and be so brave, just like the shepherds, to tell everyone what you've heard. What are your holy moments? We got to give away what we've been given. We got to celebrate the Lord. We got to partner with his presence because that's what Terry did that day. He partnered with the presence of God to release heaven on the earth. He could have been like, oh, he's going to think that's weird. I can't actually tell my boss that. No. Terry is right where he's supposed to be to do the work that the Lord has given him. And he shows up every day. We got to start remembering that those things matter. It matters for you to show up. It does. It matters. So remember the holy moments. As we do that, we're going to partner with His presence to release heaven on the earth. So how do we do this? How do we, what are our action steps, right? We always want to know, okay, how do I do this better? How are we going to release heaven on the earth as we partner with the Lord? First, we're going to recognize that our daily routine has a lot of value. I want you to thank God for your job today. Thank Him. Even those who are unhappy, some of you really hate your job. Ask the Lord, why have you placed me here and for what purpose? And how are you going to use me to release heaven on the earth right here in this moment? I want to partner with you. The daily moments matter. Sometimes we blow it. Sometimes we do. I was mean this morning because my kids were fighting, driving me crazy. I blew it. I want to do better next time. Holy Spirit, help me do this better. Help me partner with you to release heaven on the earth. But we got to recognize that the everyday things, those really matter. So be faithful in little. Honor the Lord with your work. Show up. Be willing to do the little things that will end up being the big things. The shepherds were just shepherding. It ended up being a really big thing. Your daily routine has a lot of value. And second, we're going to allow the Lord to interrupt that daily routine. Some of you love routine, and you're like, oh, that does not sound good. I actually like my little routine. You know, when you get out of routine, then you feel like something's off. I like the routine, actually, too. But allow the Lord to interrupt you. Allow the Lord to break through. Respond to Him in that moment when He asks you to release heaven on the earth. Sometimes it'll be a supernatural thing. Sometimes it'll be a word of knowledge, a prophetic picture, a word of encouragement, some healing. Sometimes it'll be those things. Sometimes it will be so natural. Sometimes Holy Spirit will say, hey, why don't you go shovel your neighbor's driveway? If we'd ever get snow, we better get some snow for Christmas. I'm seriously disappointed. If you do that, you'll release heaven on the earth. Maybe He's going to say, hey, pay for the meal of the person next to you, and do it with a cheerful and glad heart. When you do that, you'll release heaven on the earth. Maybe you're supposed to serve food at the Hope Center with the food pantry. If you do that, you're going to release heaven on the earth. That's a holy moment. I want us to be so aware of the presence of God that we know that we are partnering Him with every area and that we realize the value that it carries as we partner with Him, that our significance is revealed as we partner with His presence every single day. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we love you. Thanks for choosing us. Sometimes I just can't believe it. You could do this all by yourself, but instead you choose partnership. And what a joy it is to partner with you. What a joy it is to learn from you and grow with you and create with you and to be known by you. I love being known by you. Father, I thank you that every day you're making us more and more like you. And so we just bless your name today, Father. I love that we're going to worship you. I love that we get to spend some time telling you how much we love you. Would you be honored today, Father? It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the message today. To experience more powerful messages, go to vineyardlive.us or join our Vineyard Live Plus community to view conferences, trainings, and special teachings.